Hi, I'm Dan Primack, and welcome to Axios Recap, where we dig into one big story. Today's Tuesday, May 11th. Diet program sales are up, credit card debt is down, and we're focused on India's coronavirus crisis. Try to take yourself back to this time last year, when the pandemic felt like this giant chasm into which the entire country was falling. Helplessly, as death counts soared, hospitals were overloaded, those tests were tough to come by, and equipment like ventilators and face masks were in short supply. Life was, at best, on hold. At worst, for many, it was over. That's India, right now. The most recent daily case count was 330,000, which is about the same number of people who live in Honolulu or in Corpus Christi, Texas. Deaths today surpassed 3,800, and many believe that count would be even higher if testing was better, if hospitals could handle even more patients, or if mass graves and cremations were being tracked more accurately. And India's COVID crisis is spreading beyond its own borders, not only because cases are rising in neighboring South Asian countries, but also because there's a new variant, first detected in India, that the World Health Organization says is a concern because of its increased transmissibility. There are also some limited, non-peer-reviewed studies suggesting this variant may be better at evading some protections of Western vaccines. Although, to be very clear here, much more research is still needed. Remember, coronavirus variants are created via person-to-person transmission, and India has hundreds of thousands of newly infected people per day, with some experts arguing the real numbers could be in the millions. So today we wanted to speak with Karandeep Singh, a New York Times reporter and visual journalist based in New Delhi, about what he's seeing on the ground, how social media is being used and misused, and what Indian officials might do to stem the tide. That conversation in 15 seconds. We're joined now by Karandeep Singh, a New York Times reporter and visual journalist based in New Delhi. So Karan, can we just start? Can you describe the situation on the ground where you're at?
Well, the situation on the ground remains pretty grim. People are still desperate to find medical care. Oxygen shortages are common in many parts of the country. Just yesterday, we saw 11 patients died at one of the largest hospitals in the southern state of Andhra Pradesh because they couldn't get oxygen on time. Things have become so desperate at the cremation grounds that cremations themselves have become almost a luxury because there's hardly any space for the dead bodies. Firewood is running out. Many people who can't afford to pay for the costs of a funeral have started, unfortunately, dumping bodies that are washing up in the rivers, some of which are considered holy by the country's Hindus.
There are some suggestions that the official infection count and the official death count are lower than what the real number is. Is that a fair understanding?
Yes. All the experts that we have spoken with point to the number of cremations taking place every day, the fires at the funeral cremation grounds. They're hardly, doused by the time there's the next funeral taking place. A lot of times the funerals are taking place as a group. So instead of setting fire to one body at a time, they would set fire to the whole cremation area. And so you'd have cremations taking place in the morning and then also in the evening and throughout the day. So considering that, a lot of the experts have concluded that the official death toll is way lower than what could be the real death toll.
So with so many people infected and obvious fears that more people are infected than we even know about, how's that impacted the rollout or the distribution of vaccines?
The vaccine rollout has been hit by vaccine shortages too. People are turning up at the vaccination centers, they've been turned away because there are no vaccines to be given out that day. In many parts of the country, they haven't been able to start the rollout for the 18 plus population that the government had given a nod to. But it's also because the manufacturers themselves have admitted, you know, that they're not going to be able to really serve India's needs and that of the world at this crucial time in the pandemic.
What's the general reaction to that? Is it anger? Is it sadness? You know, knowing that a vaccine is out there, but people can't get it?
Definitely. There's frustration. We're seeing frustration play out on social media, on Twitter every day. Some actor died yesterday, and there was, you know, he tagged Prime Minister Modi in the post. We're seeing something that's very desperate, but also a public display of it. A lot of the people in India blame Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, which in February had said that they had defeated the coronavirus. In March, Mr. Modi's health minister announced that the country was in the end game of the pandemic. And everyone saw what these statements were followed by. They were followed by political rallies. They were followed by gatherings of hundreds of thousands of people at a religious festival where, you know, these things were happening at a time when the situation was becoming much worse. People were dying of the virus, and the government was still allowing the gatherings to take place.
Last year, in 2020, Modi and Indian officials got lots of credit for keeping COVID rates relatively low thanks to lockdowns. Is there now a belief that Modi is going to go back to lockdowns?
Well, there are definitely growing calls for it. A lot of health experts, doctors, some of the biggest, most prominent voices in the medical community have come out and said, this is the time to place a national lockdown to curb the spread of the infection and also halt let the medical staff take a break, because for them it's been kind of relentless. It hasn't stopped, and they're saying more doctors are dying in this second wave than the first wave. So something needs to be done. But it also seems clear from the economic situation that it will be very hard for India to go through another national lockdown. But then doctors are still saying that, you know, life is more precious than the economy.
I just want to go back to something you said earlier about social media criticism. When there had been some earlier social media criticism of Modi, Facebook cooperated with the Indian government, took down dozens of social media posts. Has that same sort of moderation or policing continued?
What we know for sure is that the government initially did not like the pouring out of pleas on social media. In the state of Uttar Pradesh, which is ruled by Prime Minister Modi's ruling party, there were people who called out for help. There was a hospital that sent out an SOS for oxygen, and then they were charged under a stringent national security law. So, yeah, I mean, there is a sense that if you want to report your problems on social media, the government is not very happy about that.
Does that mean we're seeing less people online putting up posts about there being oxygen available here or testing available there?
I doubt that. I think there's still a lot more help that we're seeing on social media. There are groups, WhatsApp groups that were, you know, dedicated for journalists to do their job, but Now they're arranging hospital beds. They're arranging oxygen. They're you know, telling people where you can find an oxygen cylinder. So I think that still continues.
Karen, final question for you. As a reporter, what are you most closely watching going forward?
We're watching everything. I mean, I think one thing that we're closely watching is for sure the way the government decides to put an end to the pandemic. Is there going to be a new lockdown? And if that happens, then what would it be? A lockdown that would be announced beforehand, or would it be a lockdown that would be a 4 hours notice? Everyone's watching for that announcement right now. And we've not seen that announcement is near. We've not seen any indications of that.
Karandeep Singh, whose excellent reporting you can read in the New York Times, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back. What we're watching today is credit card debt, some measures of which are at their lowest levels since the turn of the millennium. What's happening? Well, in short, people have been spending less and saving more during the pandemic. Capital One, for example, says that its card balances were on average 17% lower in the first quarter of this year than they were in the first quarter of last year. And Discover said its percentage of paid-off balances is at its highest mark since 2000. Now, all of this is obviously great news for the average American's financial health because credit card debt can quickly spiral out of control. For credit card companies and bank issuers, though, it's the opposite, because they make lots of money off those late fees and high interest rates. The big question going forward, then, is if this is a true sea change toward consumer responsibility or just the byproduct of lockdowns. For that answer, we'll check back into the numbers next year. And we're done. Big thanks for listening, and to my producers Naomi Shaven, Sabina Singani, Justin Kaufman, and Alex Sugiara. If you have not already subscribed to this podcast or follow it, please do so, and be sure to leave us a review. Have a great National Twilight Zone Day. And we'll be back tomorrow with another Axios Recap.